C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, March 11th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The deadline to file your taxes is April 18th. No automatic extensions this year. And while you can't avoid paying your taxes, you can definitely take steps to prevent an audit by the IRS.
Well, there's a confluence of factors at work, including the pandemic-inspired federal grant, loan, and tax credit programs that makes this very, very complex tax filing season.
WSJ contributor Lori Ayanu has been taking a look at some of the common tax mistakes people make that raise red flags at the IRS. We'll talk with her about them after the break.
C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
It's tax season. That means grabbing your calculator, sorting through receipts, and looking for deductions. But it also means being sure to avoid any of the red flags that could trigger an audit by the IRS. WSJ contributor Lori Ayanu has tips for taxpayers to stay on the IRS's good side, and she joins me now. Hey, Lori, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
So, you know, Lori, just hearing the word audit can send chills through anybody who's getting their taxes together. How common is it for the IRS to audit individual taxpayers?
Well, the good news is that fewer than 1 million Americans get audited each year. But individuals who don't file their taxes or underreport their income are top of the list. And this year, the IRS is making a particular point of upping the ante and doing more auditing on consumers. The best thing you can do is file a return that is correct and complete.
Now, what makes this tax season particularly complex that could cause people to raise these red flags?
Well, there's a confluence of factors at work, including the pandemic-inspired federal grant, loan, and tax credit programs that makes this very, very complex tax filing season.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those complex situations. You mentioned the pandemic a moment ago. Healthcare is top of mind for a lot of people. And so are there any health-related tax issues that could lead to an audit?
Yes, many people last year qualified for tax credits to help them pay for their premiums on health insurance purchased through the government-run marketplaces. Now, the process can be very confusing, as you can imagine. And to make it even harder for people to understand, the eligibility requirements changed last year. Prior to 2021, people who had incomes of up to 400% of the federal poverty level qualified, but that changed. For 2021 and 22, some people with incomes of more than that also get the credits, depending on the cost of the policy. So the biggest problems arise with this credit when taxpayers who apply for coverage in the marketplace underestimate their income to get lower premiums. Then when they file their taxes, they find out they have to pay a portion or the entire credit back to Uncle Sam. So what are the red flags that the IRS is looking for? They're really looking to see if married couples who file separately, a category that receives a lot of attention from the IRS because of increased potential for mistakes and fraud. They're also going to look to see if you supply documentation, if you received unemployment benefits. They want to make sure you are including the premium tax credit form with your 1040.
Are there any other tax credits that people should be careful with to avoid an audit?
Yes, the earned income tax credit. Each year, about 25 million low and moderate income Americans seek a refundable earned income tax credit, often known as the EITC. And the amount received depends on if they've worked and if they have an earned income under $57,414 and if they have investment income below $10,000 in the 2021 tax year. The red flags to be wary of is claiming children who aren't the taxpayer's qualifying children, using an incorrect filing status, earning $10,000 of investment income or more, and overreporting or underreporting your income.
Now, how about the education tax credit? We hear a lot about that. How does that work into this?
Yeah, I mean, that was a very popular tax credit last year, especially during the pandemic when so many Americans were squeezed for money. There are two types of education-related tax credits that were issued last year. The $2,500 American Opportunity Tax Credit, primarily for students pursuing an undergraduate degree, and the $2,000 Lifetime Learning Credit for people pursuing a career change or an advanced educational training at a post-secondary school.
Now, what might cause alarms to go off at the IRS about that?
Well, some of the red flags: claiming the wrong credit or both in the same tax year, claiming multiple tax breaks for the same college expenses, and not submitting the right form. You must submit Form 8863, and that's used to figure and claim your education expenses.
You know, in addition to reporting their income from their job or their stock portfolio, people may have benefited from the run-up in cryptocurrency prices last year. What do they need to keep in mind about that?
That's a great question. Cryptocurrency transactions are a really hot button issue for the IRS this year. Anyone that thinks the IRS isn't taking cryptocurrency seriously is mistaken. Would you believe that the number one question on this year's form, 1040, asks if you have received, sold, traded, or disposed of any financial interest in a virtual currency? The IRS has a mandate to collect $30 billion in crypto tax revenue over the next 10 years, and it's treating all types of digital currency as property for tax purposes. They even have partnered with crypto tax software companies to help them track cryptocurrency movements of U.S. citizens.
Wow, so Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies, they're on the big stage now.
They really are. And so my best advice to anyone listening is to make sure, if you're very, very active in the market, that you work with a crypto tax specialist. There are many of them out there who can help you with your tax filing. There's even, you know, as I mentioned earlier, crypto tax software like Zen Ledger and Token Tax. And these firms have specialists also that could help you with filing your tax returns. And you think about the challenges investors face in this market. There are so many exchanges worldwide and over 20 different digital wallets. All of these things have to be reconciled when you file your taxes. It can be a nightmare.
Yeah, people might also have rental income as a new source of money to report. You know, with the growth of services like Airbnb and Vrbo, what are some mistakes people make when reporting those numbers?
Well, I think the biggest mistake that all of the tax preparers and experts I spoke to say, that many people new to the rental business, especially because they're getting involved with Airbnb, they don't realize that all rental income is generally considered passive income, not active income. I mean, there are some exceptions to that rule, but generally speaking, it's considered passive. So if you have a rental loss for the year because your operating expenses exceed your rental income, you cannot deduct it against your W-2 income. And this is a really common mistake that filers make. Another issue that trips them up is attempting to claim deductions on a mixed-use rental property. So let's say you have a home that you use part of the time, and the other part, maybe you rent it. It could be a summer house. So it's very tricky on what you can really deduct. You have to keep a log on the use of the property and keep receipts on any expenditures so you can verify your deductions if you're audited.
And speaking of homes, it seems like everyone has had some kind of home office to work in during the pandemic. But is the IRS going to be putting more scrutiny on how people report home offices on their tax returns?
Well, the number one thing that consumers and Americans should remember this year is that the home office deduction might be a tax quagmire due to the confusion over who qualifies. Now, remember, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act in 2017 suspended tax write-offs related to home offices for employees of companies through 2025. That means millions of people who have been working remotely last year and the year before during the COVID-19 pandemic are not eligible. Only people who were self-employed in 2021 can claim the deduction. But things that can really trip you up is keep in mind that if you want to claim a deduction, the room must be exclusively and regularly used for business and to meet clients. If you're working on your laptop in the family room, it's just not going to qualify.
Oh, so being in the room with the kids and the dog running around while you're doing legitimate work, that doesn't qualify here.
Correct.
Now, not only is properly reporting your income important, but so is accurately reporting your spending, like in the form of charitable donations. Why would those potentially raise red flags?
For charitable donations to be deductible, the recipients must be qualifying organizations such as religious organizations and nonprofits. So individuals have to be careful of who they're donating to. If the deductions are high compared with your annual income, they will be reviewed and perhaps audited by the IRS. Deductions for cash donations to charitable organizations typically cannot exceed 60% of a certain calculation of your adjusted gross income. The limit was expanded to 100% for cash donations in 2021 due to the pandemic. But remember what the big red flags are, what the IRS is looking for. They're looking for a lack of receipts. They're looking to see if you have inflated values for non-cash donations. If you make non-cash donations, it's very important that you get appraisals, and it's very important that you provide documentation for qualified charitable contributions from your IRA if you're taking them out to make these donations to charity.
You know, Lori, finally, we hear a lot about IRS scams, you know, people getting suspicious phone calls from someone claiming to be from the IRS saying things like they're being audited or maybe they owe back taxes. What do people need to know about receiving communication from the IRS?
First off, the IRS initiates most contacts through regular mail. There are certain special circumstances where they might call you or come to your home and business, but those are the exception to the rule. So beware if you get a suspicious phone call from someone who's asking for your personal information, because the IRS will never request personal information by phone. Neither will they ever communicate to you by social media channels.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal contributor Lori Iannu. Lori, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
Thank you for your interest in the WSJ podcasts from the Wall Street Journal. We're always looking to improve, and we're interested in hearing your opinions. Please go to wsj.com/survey and take a survey that will help us bring you more of the content you're looking for. Thank you for your time and support.